And I asked you the question at the start of the show, if you are a fan and a big fan of movies, and if the answer was yes, I asked you to think of a female character who inspired you or encouraged you, or a female character that you just looked up to. I think back personally to Ripley in Alien, Thelma and Louise, as well as more recently Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games. And then, of course, the big conversation around strong women being pushed once again this year into the conversations being as a result of the movie Wonder Woman. But the movie Wonder Woman took the world by storm. It was, first of all, a huge box office success. And secondly, it was critically successful. And we need to look at why this exactly is. It's not just because of the popularity of superhero movies. It was mainly because of the powerful representation of a woman as the hero rather than the typical damsel in distress. Gal Gadot's portrayal of Wonder Woman is not the first powerful woman we've seen on the screen. In fact, the heroine in movies is on the rise. The reaction to Wonder Woman, though, shows us that seeing female heroes is still a commodity rather than the norm. To discuss the portrayal of women, we are joined by Dr. Kate Waits, a professor of English and Gender Studies at Nova Southeastern University in the States, and she wrote a contributing chapter in the book Bad Girls and Transgressive Women in Popular Television, Fiction and Film, titled Hollywood's Warrior Woman for the New Millennium, where she focused on the character of Lisbeth Salander in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo franchise. She's joining us on the line. If you have any questions or you want to jump in the conversation, feel free to get in touch with us via the phone line or the SMS line. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Kate.
Well, thank you for having me. I very much look forward to talking with you about this. One of my favorite topics of all time. So, well chosen, I would say.
And I think it's necessary that we discuss this, and essentially this conversation centers around representation and the importance of that. But before we get into the nitty gritty, let's quickly go back, and of course you being the expert in this field, when did we first start seeing the rise of strong women in movies?
Well, the truth of the matter is that if you go back to the the early period in Hollywood film, you'll find that there were actually many strong women, not just being depicted in film, not just acting in film, but also working behind the scenes as writers and directors and even producers. Unfortunately, when a couple of things occurred, the rise of technology, the introduction of sound to movies, and then the partnership with Wall Street and corporate money sort of changed the equation, and women became increasingly marginalized from Hollywood. So that's when you began to see depictions. When you did see depictions of women, they were, as you, I think, sort of described, as secondary figures, marginal characters, mm-hmm. the wife, the mother, the victim, and so on and so forth. And that's pretty much what we've seen throughout Hollywood's history. But there have been periods when we've seen strong women. It's just that the genres in which we've seen those strong women are not the kinds of genres that we associate with heroes. So, for example, in what they called the women's weepies in the 1940s and into the 1950s, they were films that were organized around women's stories, and they were usually set in domestic kinds of situations, and they were aimed at a women audience. So what that meant was that they didn't have the same cachet as films that centered around the stories of men who were seen as more heroic and doing more interesting things, whereas the women's weepies or the melodramas were focused on, you know, kinds of situations that involved married women. Mildred Pierce, for example, who wasn't doing the kinds of things she was supposed to be doing because she was a businesswoman, so she was neglecting her domestic responsibility. So these were strong women, but they were confined to a genre of film that was aimed at female audiences, and they didn't generate as much money or as much critical interest as movies that starred men. When we began to see more interesting and powerful women, briefly in the 40s and 50s in the genre of film noir, we saw the femme fatale, again, she was kind of a secondary character, but she was a strong woman. She was an interesting woman. She was a complex woman, but she was ultimately kind of put in her place by the end of the film. So I think it was in the aftermath of the second wave of feminism in the 80s and 90s. You mentioned, for example, a little earlier in your discussion, the character of Ripley in Alien.
Yeah.
And she was one of the pivotal figures of depictions of a strong woman in a leading role in an action film, and action films are generally sort of driven by male characters. So that was unusual, as was the character in, trying to think of the other film, in The Terminator. I forget the character's name, but she was also a very strong, strong character. So these were characters that this is very unusual to see. On the other hand, if you look carefully at those characters, you'll find that even though they're strong and powerful, and they're decisive and interesting, they're also framed in some way to kind of put them back in their female place. So, for example, with Ripley, it had to do with turning her into a kind of a maternal character in relationship to the child that's found. Or in some later films that we saw with, for example, Charlie's Angels or Lara Croft Tomb Raider, what you see is that the female action hero, who's strong in some respects, is also feminized. That is to say, she's presented as a babe. You know, she's scantily clad.
Yeah.
She's sexualized, right? So these are mechanisms whereby Hollywood could say, okay, so we're giving you a strong woman, but, you know, she's only strong to a point, because we still have to assure our audiences that she's a woman, that she's a female in the way that conventional audiences would expect. So they would only go so far. And, of course, that didn't necessarily, I mean, they were commercially successful films, but, again, they had a way of putting the female action heroes in their place. So I think what we're seeing recently is it more and more depictions of these strong female characters that are strong more so in their own right. And so, of course, I use the example of Lisbeth Salander, who doesn't fit into any gender category that you can clearly define. She's transgressive, as they say. So she's different. She's introducing something different in the genre of action film with strong female characters. So I think this is good. I think it's interesting. I think that the film Wonder Woman, it's not only that it starred a female hero, but that film was directed by Patty Jenkins,
yeah,
who is a woman. And so the other part of this picture is the fact that we don't see too many women directors at the helm of these big budget films. They're generally speaking male. Lots of studies have been shown to point that out, the discrepancy, the discrimination. So that's why this is such a huge, I think, moment in film history, because whether or not this is going to, you know, be the beginning of a shift of more support for female directors behind the behind the scenes of action films, which are your bigger budget films, I think that's going to be an interesting question. It's going to be an interesting thing to see.
I'm happy that you brought up the fact that the success and sort of the appeal of Wonder Woman also lies partly as a result of the female directors and producers and the individuals behind the scenes. Because many times when we're having these conversations, we tend to focus on the actors and the actresses. But that's also a very important conversation to have, seeing more directors and producers and writers who are female, who get to tell the story, who get to sit in the room around the table when they are scripting and they are building the story arcs, etc.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And of course, I agree with you, because we need storytelling by women as well as by men, and we don't always get the stories that women are writing because it's a male-dominated industry.
Mm.
As you rightly point out, behind the camera as well as in front of the camera.
Is this something that you predict will change? Is it changing?
Well, that's a tough one to predict. I think there's certainly more impetus for that change. I don't know what's going to make the difference. I think audiences have to begin asking for more creative storytelling from Hollywood. We tend to see the same formulaic stories, and that's because, of course, Hollywood film costs so much to produce. So the money involved tends to make Hollywood gun-shy, you know, very afraid of taking risks. Mm. And as I said before, if you go back and you look at the early period in Hollywood, particularly during the silent era, there were lots of strong women and lots of creative storytelling, very different kinds of stories. There was much more variety in the storytelling, and I'm talking about that because I've done research in that area, and historians have pointed that out. So it would be nice if we could do that, if we could open it up to storytelling that represents not just the stories of women, but the stories of, you know, different ethnic groups, minority groups, yeah, and so on. That it's not, because we're not just a white male society; we're a very diverse culture. Multiple genders and certainly multiple ethnicities. And so we need to see those stories told, representing real human beings, more complex stories about real human beings, in my view. And I hope we're kind of moving in that direction. We're seeing that, I think, more, maybe not so much in Hollywood, but we're seeing it more in our Netflix shows and our Amazon shows, where you're seeing more independent kinds of storytelling and diverse storytelling. So it could be that that's where the change comes about, and ultimately Hollywood has to adapt. I guess we'll have to see.
Mm. When it comes to representation, like you mentioned, we can talk at length about why representation, not just for females, but for smaller ethnic groups or minorities, are essential. Quickly talk to us about why this whole concept of a one-dimensional female character is problematic, and it's still an issue that we see and that we deal with in our movies, in our TV series. And of course,
that's an excellent question, and I think the basic answer is because it dehumanizes women, to reduce them to a caricature, to a stereotype, to a single dimension, whether that has to do with their sexuality or whether it has to do with their reproductive capacity. It dehumanizes people when you reduce them to one aspect of their human identity, of their human experience. And we don't see that. I mean, sometimes we see that in movies that feature men, but lots of times we see very complicated, you know, male characters. They're not always, you know, certainly they're not always the father or the husband. And if they are those things seem to be ancillary to other aspects of their identity, of their experience in life, of their function in life. So I think that's why, we need human stories that talk about human beings, and human beings are complex. And that means, by the way, women, of course, are not always good, just like men are not always good. And so we need to see that, because that's an aspect of the human identity, of the human experience. Mm. So I think it's too reductive, in other words, to reduce them to a single dimension of their identity.
When it comes to, and I don't like sort of putting the responsibility on one person or on a certain group, but when it comes to putting that drive and where that push should come from, does it lie with the consumers and the people who view these movies and these series, or is it something that needs to come from within the film industry?
Well, I think it's got to happen on both fronts. And I think more and more people are pushing Hollywood in the direction of giving women and minorities more opportunities to make films, as well as more opportunities to be in front of the camera and film. So the pressure has to come from the outside. Audiences have to also begin talking about what they want to see. I think too often, and this is a function, by the way, of narrative cinema, it sort of, in some ways, encourages us to be passive and to sit in a darkened theater and watch the stories roll over in front of the screen, and we disappear into that world that's presented to us. And it doesn't particularly encourage us to be active or critical in our response, in our viewership. And I think that that is a disservice in a way. I mean, it's listen, I disappear into every film that I see to some extent, but I also engage with it and think about the kinds of messages and ideologies that are being presented to me. And so if people really think about those messages and ideologies that are being presented to them, they might say, you know what, I don't like this. I would like to see something different. I would like to see something more. I would like to see something more diverse. So I think audiences first of all, Hollywood has to stop feeding audiences what I call pablum, you know, this sort of every food, the same food over and over and over again. Hollywood has to be richer and more diverse than that in what it produces. But, you know, as long as money's involved, that's problematic. But I think pressure can also come from people that work in the industry, and it is coming from people that work in the industry, and from audiences who are becoming more and more, I think, critical about what it is that they're seeing on film. And I think that's being helped by the independent films that we're seeing increasingly. And as I said, the kinds of storytelling that's being presented to us on cable TV and on Netflix and Amazon and so on.
And then in your opinion, why do you think that it is so difficult for some people in society to take female heroes seriously? I can refer to the backlash that the female Ghostbuster movie got, and then of course most recently Jodie Whittaker being cast as the new female Doctor Who. Why are people so afraid of females in these roles or positions?
Well, you just answered your own question. That's fear, and I think it's fear of women stepping outside their prescribed role. I think it's fear that men are being replaced. You know, it's a fear that they're losing primacy. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that we're seeing in Trump world. You know, a lot of this is generated by a fear of change, a fear of something different, a fear of people sharing power with you. Some people don't take too kindly to that. Whenever, you know, outsider or marginalized groups begin to had some power, some share of power in whatever the industry or the situation is, that's threatening to the status quo. And especially, I think that's especially true as it relates to gender. Fundamentally, people are tied to this idea that women are one thing and men are the other thing, and they need to kind of stay in their little boxes, or it gets a little bit too threatening.
And I think I just realized the thing with TV and film is it depicts reality. It's a mirror of what's happening in society. And like you said, women in their daily lives aren't allowed to be their full selves, because people get uncomfortable if women are in power positions or they're CEO of a business. And we're taking it away from the whole superhero thing, but just women stepping into their power and stepping into themselves. People aren't comfortable with that in real life. And the sort of upsetness and anger that people lash out with regards to Wonder Woman and what they see on TV speaks to what's actually happening in society.
It's quite surprising, isn't it, to see how people overreact to those kinds of representations that they see as threatening. I was astonished at the reaction to the Ghostbuster film, for example. I just thought that was bizarre, but telling at the same time, for the reasons that, you know, we just discussed. It's sort of the patriarchal stranglehold on the culture. It's really hard for some people to let go of that, you know, model that they have in their sort of embedded in their consciousness and probably in their unconscious mind as well.
You did mention a few iconic female characters over the last few years in film and in TV. What are some of the biggest ones that stand out and that you think has really opened the door or changed the narrative when it comes to writing stories and making movies and TV shows with strong female leads in it?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind is the Netflix series House of Cards, with the depiction of the, and I can't remember her name now, the president's wife. Isn't that terrible? I remember her as the president's wife. but I think of him as the president. I can't remember his name either.
Mm.
But she's a very complicated, interesting figure. She's not good. I mean, there are things about her that show us that she's human, that she has certain needs and certain vulnerabilities, but we also see that she's kind of the product of a particular kind of upbringing that she's had in association with a certain sphere and culture, the sort of elitist political establishment, white upper class. And then her involvement with this, Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright are the name of the actors, of course, that play the roles, and they're fantastic. But I think that she really is interesting and unsettling, because she's not, you know, a good woman who's standing, you know, who's trying to keep her husband, trying to teach him the moral thing to do. In fact, she participates in some of their immoral and illegal, for that matter, activities, you know. So that to me is really interesting, really interesting.
Mm. So you would say also seeing female villains and more of those is also necessary?
Absolutely, because as I said, because that plays to the patriarchal stereotype, to think that women are either goddesses or they're whores.
Yeah.
You know, that's historically, that's been the way that they've been cast in one category or the other. You're either the virgin, you know, you're the Mary character, or you're the Eve character. You're the good wife, the good mother, the good sister. Or you're the femme fatale, you're the evil woman, you're going to, you know, try to corrupt the man, use your sex to for corrupting kinds of purposes. And, you know, and that's just a way of keeping women in a box, is to say they can be one or the other, but they can't be both. Well, that's not true. Women, just like men, can be both. They can have, you know, positive qualities and negative qualities. They can be, you know, decent, you know, good human beings, but on the other hand, have a corrupting side to them, or have vulnerabilities that cause them to make bad decisions and so on, or cause them to be deceitful. So that's human. You know, Shakespeare understood this.
Mm.
Shakespeare had such a wonderful understanding of human nature, although I think even though he had some interesting women, he also tended to act out his patriarchal consciousness as well, to some extent.
Are you a watcher and a follower of Game of Thrones?
You know, I started to watch it, and I had to stop because I have a hard time with the violence, with the graphic violence against women. But I follow it, because I have to follow these things to try to stay on top of them. And I understand that there are very interesting, strong female characters, and oftentimes who are not very good. And I think that's, you know, I think that's great.
Mm.
I think that's a positive development in the representations that we see on television.
Mm. And I think it speaks to what you said, seeing women in all their facets, being the wife, being the evil person trying to kill people for a power position, and seeing all that in one character. Because like you mentioned, like men, women also have many facets and are layered. And it's very necessary to see it and see women in all the many lights that they do come in and from.
Well, I, I think so. I think it's important to see representations in our mythology, you know, in our storytelling of human experience and the gamut of human experience. So that, I mean, basically what we learn when we expose ourselves to literature and film is we're really learning about ourselves. In order to learn about ourselves, we have to see ourselves, not as someone wants to define us and contain us, but rather as we are in and of ourselves. And I think that's important.
Mm. When it comes to TV versus film, I'm talking about series now, do you think the TV industry is a bit ahead when it comes to proper representation of females?
I think it's ahead in terms of more diverse representations of all characters, and in particular females, yes. And I think that has everything to do with money.
Mm.
I think Hollywood very much operates out of, you know, they have to make X amount of money, it costs X amount of money to make a studio film, and so what they're going to do is they're going to appeal to the lowest common denominator. Television, and in particular since the, you know, the development of cable television and now the development of all these other vehicles for storytelling, they can take more risks. We see much more risk-taking in the storytelling. I think they're sort of pioneering, if you will, in a way that Hollywood has lost its way, in my view.
Mm.
It's stuck.
Before I say goodbye, in your opinion, do you think there'll be a time when the strong female hero or lead will become the norm? We did mention that it's still the exception. It's still a rare commodity.
Yeah, I think so. I do think so. I think it's bound to happen. And by the way, I just want to comment that when you mentioned Thelma and Louise, I think it was in your introduction.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. That's like one of my favorite all-time films ever.
It's a classic, yeah.
It's a classic. It's really a classic. But yeah, I do think so. I think it's going to happen. I think it's of course going to take time, but we've seen, you know, whenever women make advances in the social and political sphere, you see that represented in the mythology. And of course, it's a you know, two steps forward, a step back kind of thing, as with any movement towards freedom and independence. But I think it's going to continue to go in that direction, and women are going to see better, stronger, more diverse kind of representation in our filmic storytelling, sure.
Mm. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. We'll definitely get you on the line soon to continue this conversation.